Hello, and thank you all for having me again this week. I have a couple announcements that I want to see if I can remember them. Next week I'll be traveling on Sunday night, offering the online satsang, and so I'll miss you next Sunday evening. I believe that is February 18th, but I'll be back after that. Also, at the end of this month, the beginning of next month, I'll be teaching as a part of the Kundalini Summit. It's an online summit, and I believe there's about 12 other teachers. And the summit is free the day each teacher shows up and teaching. And so the way that works is the summit starts on March 1st, and whoever the teacher is that day, the teaching is offered for free, and for the next following 12 days, the teachings are offered for free. And I'll be teaching those days. I'm not exactly sure which day. I'm waiting to hear back from the summit organizer. But you can go to kundalinisummit.com and find information about that. And then also, I would like to just thank everyone. Everyone who's offered donations to support the teachings, those of you who've been volunteering and really helping me out, I just wanted to extend a deep appreciation to you. Thank you for supporting this work and supporting the teachings. I feel deeply honored for those of you who give in whatever way you can give. So my heart goes out to you and thank you deeply. I'm teaching from Florida right now. I'm in Naples, Florida. And so if you hear a little bit of background noise, I apologize for that. I'm just not in my home office right now. I'm teaching actually outside in a little deck villa area that's right next to some water. So if you hear any crickets or anything like that, that's what you're hearing. So anyways, please join me in just closing your eyes and taking a couple minutes just to go inward. To connect with your truth. Connect with your deeper sense of resonance. And so I invite you in letting go of the thoughts, letting go of any old emotions, and just coming into your body and just really relaxing. So much of our day we spend just arguing with the past or fighting with this thing or that thing. And so I invite you just to let go of it all. There's nothing we need to fight with now, nothing we need to argue with. And so will you join me in your hearts, opening your minds and your bodies, opening to the fullness of what you are. So we'll start again with the seven chakra centers by just bringing your attention, this deeper sense of awareness, to the crown chakra. And I invite you to open, relax the crown. Feel a sense of receptivity in the crown chakra. Even imagine that there's a lid on the top of your mind. And you take that lid off. You open that door. You open that channel. And if you can, simply notice how vast the space is. The space of the crown. If you feel into the center, you'll notice it's infinite. You may notice a like a 360 degree openness. Vast, spacious openness out to the front, to the sides, to the back. So when we open the crown, we begin to discover how big we are, how vast we are, how huge is the space of awareness. Most of the time, awareness is always being projected out the front, but I invite you to allow awareness to be projected out the back, and to the sides, back to every direction. We truly step into space, begin to discover a centerless center, like a vast, spacious freedom that goes off and is included in every direction. It's like the opposite of ego. You're stepping into this vast, spacious presence. It's timeless, eternal, genderless, ageless. And so as you allow your awareness to become more inclusive and feel into the space of the third eye, you may notice this deep well here, profound depth. And again, emptiness. An emptiness that is so vast, it allows for any and every thought to arise. And of course, in this moment, I invite you not to pay attention to any thought, but instead to pay attention to the vastness of your own awareness, the vastness and the depth of your own presence. You may even ask yourself this question, who is it? Who is it that is alive and awake right here, right now? Who is it that experiences life? Who is this vast, spacious, eternal awareness? Who is this? What is this thing called me? And it's called I. What is this presence beyond thought, beyond emotion? The eternal witness of thought and emotion. Who is it that's here that's radiant and beautiful? And so as we open into this timeless silence, we begin to notice that what we are is beyond. Beyond anything we could even comprehend. Timeless, vast presence. Despite any thoughts, despite any emotions. Sometimes individuals think that the thinking has to stop and the feelings have to stop for us to experience what we are, but it's not true. We simply have to turn our attention inward and just notice, what is this thing called me? What is it? What is this presence that I am? What is this divinity that I am, this radiant presence, what is this? And so we become even more inclusive, and we breathe, and we allow awareness to include our throat, to include our heart. And so we open the throat. We open the heart. We simply bring our attention. To the heart and just notice. Notice this gentle innocence here. A pristine quietude. Gentle innocence. And as we notice this innocence within the space of our heart, we open more and include the solar plexus, the lower belly, just notice, what is it that we feel here? What is this presence that I am? How do we experience this presence of I am within the space of the heart, the solar plexus, the belly, the pelvis? And of course, if there's any tension in any place within your body, you're opening, you're relaxing. You're giving yourself permission simply to unravel. Allow any tension or tightness to unravel into this vast, spacious presence that you are. So you're noticing the sense of aliveness, the crown chakra, the third eye, the space of the throat, the space of the heart, the chest, upper belly, lower belly, upper back, lower back, your legs, your feet, your arms, your hands. We're fully opening up, fully letting go, giving ourselves permission, permission to experience this depth of presence which we are. And simultaneously we're calling upon God, calling upon grace to come in, to fill us with love, to live through us, to act through us, to be through us. In the most humble way, we look up towards God and say, Lord, you fill me with your grace. You fill me with your love. You fill me with your presence and make me your conduit. Make me an instrument of thy grace. Make me an instrument of thy love. You lead me with your divine intelligence. You speak through me. You show me. Show me how to live in this confusing world. Be a lamp to me in this world of darkness. And so from this place of openness, I invite you to continue to let go. Let go of any struggle that you have. Give it to God. Give it to life. And invite her holy presence more fully into you. And so thank you. Thank you all for joining me in this space of meditation, in this space of presence. I encourage you to continue to sit, continue to open, and to continue to be receptive. Now I have a number of questions, and I will begin working with these questions. But of course, if any of you has a question, please bring it forward. I'd be happy to speak with you, happy to connect with you. And the question is something on your heart, is something on your mind that you struggle with? And if so, bring it forward. This is your time. Satsang is a time for us to come together. It's a time for us to come together in truth, in love, in open-heartedness. And so, yes, welcome, Lisa. It's so good to see you. It's been a long time. It's so good to see you, my dear. So God bless your heart. God bless your heart, sweetheart. And so the first question that I have is from Christopher. And Christopher asks, how does one know when they are ready to trust their inner teacher and step away from the teachings or from their teacher? And yes, this is a common question, especially among some of my Buddhist students, and a common question among some of the non-dual students. So many of us are so ready to go out and live life on our own, to live without a teacher, to abandon the teacher. And I guess the question for me is, well, in what way are you connecting to your teacher? The teacher can be like a great friend, a best friend, an older brother, an incredible master, a master who's incarnated, you know, like a teacher you may meet with on a regular basis, or a teacher who's that no longer has an earthly body. You know, like Jesus, or Muhammad, or the Buddha, or the Great Mother. There's teachers who are incredible gurus, and teachers who are our children, and wives, or husbands, or ex-boyfriends, or ex-girlfriends. And so there's no way to get rid of teachers. There's no way to fully step away from the teachings. If God wants to teach you something, she will make it clear. And whether it comes from the lips of your guru, your best friend, your ex-husband, your child, or from life itself, we live in an evolutionary world, so we never give up our teachers. Now, of course, if you're seeing some guru and you don't like his or her answer, but it feels like they don't understand you, or you're not resonating with what they're offering, yes, then it's time to let go of that one particular teaching in that moment. That one particular teaching. But our heart must always be open to the truth, eternally open. And so if our heart is a deep and profound well, if it's deeply open and radiant, if it's connected with God's grace, then yes, you may not need to move to India and sit at your guru's feet for the rest of your life. It may be inappropriate to go to India and listen to the guru in India, because they may have no understanding of you and your life. And so I was an individual who always had great teachers who I could call upon, teachers who knew me, in a divine way and a relative way. And so me, I couldn't imagine wanting to get rid of my teachers. It'd be like saying wanting to get rid of your best friends, your most trusted ally. But of course, you must have discernment. You must have discernment. What are you going to your teacher for? Are you reading 800 books and trying to look for answers outwardly all the time? When your teacher speaks, your true teacher, it should be totally in alignment with your heart. There should just be a sense of, yes, this is the truth. This is something I already knew, but it was helpful to get some outward confirmation. And so what you'll find, if your heart is open, is God is always talking to you. Always talking to you. Inwardly and outwardly. And she is saying the same thing, inwardly and outwardly. Now, if you go to a teacher who doesn't understand you, or if you go to a teacher who has a broken heart, a big wound, a big shadow, if you go to a teacher who's confused, a teacher who's no good, well, they may give you terrible advice. But oftentimes in the world of non-duality, in the world of Buddhism, There's a teaching that says, give up all teachers. And that's good. If you could trust your own heart. But if your heart is heavy, if your heart is wounded, if you have a big shadow, if you have an arrogant ego that thinks it knows everything, well then, maybe you should stay with your teacher a little bit longer until your heart is broken open and you can fully hear the truth. Now in Buddhism, they call prajna. Prajna is heart wisdom. It's this divine intelligence that comes into you. And the path in which I study the most, the path of Sri Aurobindo, we were eternally opening our hearts to God's intelligence, God's mind. We were inviting our mind to be erased. And we welcomed God's mind in its place. God's mind. This divine mind. And so we would invite this new mind into us, this new intelligence. We would let go of our thoughts and welcome God's thoughts. You know, earlier this week I was meeting with a student of Buddhism. He was very well read. He spent many hours in meditation. But there was something within him which thought he knew everything. He corrected me so many times during our meeting. He couldn't even wait for me to, he would ask a question, then he couldn't wait for me to answer the question without correcting me 3 or 4 times. And I could see that he was struggling. He was struggling with pride and arrogance. It was his shadow, but he did not know it. And I was trying to offer him something. Trying to point in a certain direction. Inviting him to let go of his mind, which was so strong. And see, one of the troubles is that if we have a very strong and clear, rational, logical mind, sometimes it's very difficult to let go of that mind because it's served us so well in the past. It's done a very good job from an egoic perspective. But from a spiritual path perspective, it had trouble letting go. Sometimes some of our greatest strengths later become our greatest weaknesses or shortcomings. And I must laugh because there was many times when my teacher, he would say, Craig, just listen. Just listen. Just receive what I'm offering you. There's a transmission here. Just receive. And I would say to my teacher, no, you don't understand. And he did understand. It was me who was confused and thought that I had explained every detail of my story. So my teacher knew clearly what was happening, and he knew clearly how to respond and how to help me. But sometimes we're not open. One of the greatest ego qualities is arrogance and pride. The people who don't think they have arrogance or pride, they're the ones who struggle the most. The ones who are ready to get rid of their teacher. And they think they're just listening to their inner teacher. They're really just listening to their inner spiritual superego. And so, yes. When should we stop? Step away from the teachings or the teacher. Never. Never is what I say. Unless you have a terrible teacher, and then run. And then run. But in regards to stepping away from the teacher or the teachings, there is only one teacher, and that teacher is God. And so our heart must be open to God's grace, God's wisdom, God's intelligence in every moment of our life. If we truly want to be awake in this world, we open to the truth. We step into this flow of divinity, and we never step out. We never step out of it. And so we must not take this literally. Like reading the Bible literally is a great mistake. The greater question is, when shall I be humble? Always. Always. When shall I listen to the truth? Always. When shall I have discernment? Always. And so this is our job, is to find the truth. And when you find the truth, it will literally ring true. It will come with a resonance, a power. Your heart will light up when you hear the truth. So yes, it's a beautiful question. And so this next question I have was from Buffy. She asked this. She says, Craig, I have a self-defeating story that's in my mind. I have let myself and my children down. I have struggled greatly in life. I've struggled greatly with this self-defeating story. There's a lot of pity, victimization, anger, guilt, shame at play. Please help me. And yes, and so if we have a self-defeating story, oftentimes it means that our ego is telling us how we are doing. Our ego is telling us who we are. I can remember I spent much of my life, maybe, you know, 8 years struggling with guilt, with shame. And I believed in this story of guilt. This story of guilt, it kept me from acting. It kept me from accessing my power. And so every day I would wake up and I would feel powerless, feel ashamed. I felt like I was living a catch-22. I was damned if I went this way or damned if I went that way. God had to turn my life completely upside down for me to get out of that terrible story. But one of the things I found that is so helpful is we must change our perspective. We must shift out of this belief that we're no good, that we're rotten. And we must connect with our heart. We see, what is it that's here that's good about me? What is it that's true? What is it that's beautiful about my consciousness, about my nature? The problem with pain, and especially guilt, is that it sits on top of our heart chakra. And because of guilt, because of the heaviness and the thickness of guilt, like if you feel into guilt energetically, it literally feels heavy, it feels thick. It's a very subtle form of depression that prevents us from seeing clearly. But we must be courageous enough to see through it. That means we must be willing to feel it fully and see what's deeper than the guilt here. When you feel the feeling of guilt fully, but without believing the thoughts, the guilty thoughts that come with it, you cannot believe them, you cannot identify with them. When you look what's under this guilt, what you discover, Buffy, is you have this beautiful heart, this incredible innocence, this silent, innocent divinity. That is right here, right now. Let's see what the ego does. Is our egoic nature, it only pays attention to what is wrong with us. The reason it pays attention to what is wrong is because the program of ego, that's its job, is to look for problems. And so if we have for a human being, the ego can find many things wrong with us. We talk too loud, we talk too quiet, we're too big, we're too small. We're too old, we're too young, we're too rich, too poor. And so instead of paying attention to what the ego is telling us, can we become quiet and come into our heart? And we come into this innocent presence of the heart. Just notice, there's something beautiful here. Can we allow this beauty to raise our children? Can we allow this beauty to show up to work? Can we allow this beauty, this innocence, to speak with our parents? Or our husband, or our wife, or whoever it is. Because when we struggle with guilt, we are not allowing ourselves to speak. We're not allowing ourselves to shine. We are not allowing our brilliance to come forward. When we have guilt, and we allow it to rule our life, well, we live in a guilty way. We live in a way which is depressed and not fully present, not fully here. One of the things I can remember, if I think back to the time when I was so afflicted with guilt, it was like carrying around 8,000 pounds on my back. I have to laugh a little bit because I can't imagine feeling guilty now, but it was like carrying around all this weight. This weight was a dream, a total illusion. There was no necessity for it. It didn't help me in any way. It actually prevented me. It prevented me from grieving. It's an interesting thing what it did. The guilt sat on top of the pain of sadness. And so at some point, I said yes to the guilt, and I opened the door, and on the other side of the guilt, I found tremendous sadness, and I said yes to the sadness. I opened to the sadness, and I allow the sadness to move through my body, and then I discovered this beautiful heart beneath it all. A beautiful heart was radiant, which was open, which was innocent, and one with all of life. And my heart and your heart are the same heart. It's one with all of life. It's beautiful, it's open, it's awake, it's divine. But see, we must be courageous on the path if we want to let go of something as heavy as guilt, or as heavy as depression, or sadness, or anger, or rage. We must be courageous enough to embrace it. To embrace it fully, with an absolute love. And so often people ask me, well, what do you mean, Craig, by embracing it with love? What does that practically mean? It means we breathe into pain and we don't believe the thoughts associated with the pain. The thoughts that I'm no good, or they are no good, or my mother's no good, or my father's no good. We don't believe those thoughts. We don't believe the thoughts of the story. We acknowledge the pain. We breathe into it in the most intimate way, in the most loving way. And as you breathe into pain, it naturally releases. And as the pain releases, you begin to discover bliss, openness, divinity, incredible radiance, right there in a place that was once inhabited with pain. When you truly wake up, you discover that this divinity has been here. This divinity that you are has been here the entirety of your life. It felt like the pain covered it up. It buried it. But when you really get in touch with this divinity, you'll see it was never buried. That too was an illusion. That this divinity was pouring out of our lives. Pouring out of our very own eyes. I can remember many days when I had the worst day ever. And I would go and I would look in the mirror and just look directly into my eyes. And I'd see this wonderful radiance pouring out of my eyes, and I would just laugh hysterically and say, my God, I thought I was in so much pain. I thought this was the end of my life, and yet there was this wonderful radiance looking right back at me. Now, so many individuals come and see me in pain, and I look at them and see such divinity. Such beauty. And so, yes, Buffy, this is a great question. In order to no longer be a victim, we must honor and see our divinity in every moment of our life. The death of the victim, a victim consciousness, comes through loving yourself fully. When you love yourself fully, you discover your power. When you let go of guilt, you discover your power. When you're willing to look into the mirror and see this absolute beauty, absolute beauty. Right there, looking right back at you, everything changes. It's hard to truly be a victim when you know what you really are. You know, a great exercise that I have individuals do is you turn your camera on your cell phone. You use your cell phone as a mirror. You know, take a picture like a selfie. If you just look into your eyes, you see this inner radiance looking back at you. You notice this thing here, this quiet radiance, is beautiful. Just absolutely beautiful. And so, a good friend of mine, I was emailing her today. At the end of my email, you know, I just said, "I hope you're wonderful." And she wrote something back, you know, like, "Oh, I'm not feeling wonderful." And so it's an interesting perspective, because what she was saying was absolutely true, is she wasn't feeling wonderful. But if we want to be awake in this world, we stay awake through stepping into the absolute, to connecting fully with the absolute. And so from an absolute perspective, from a soul perspective, if you feel into your presence, you are wonderful in every moment of your life. Even if in a relative way, you know, you feel like a bag of rocks. You know, I'm an individual who struggles with chronic pain, and so I just have a body that's been beaten up by life. And so oftentimes my body feels less than wonderful. Oftentimes my body, I have tremendous pain in this body of mine. Yet because I'm connected to my absolute self. People ask me, how are you doing, Craig? And I say, oh, just wonderful. Just wonderful. Because I'm identified with my true nature. Now, being identified doesn't mean you ignore your human nature, because that would be unloving, uncompassionate. And so oftentimes when I offer this teaching, individuals say, Craig, do you want me to lie? And I say, no, I absolutely do not want you to lie. But one of the greatest lies we can live is the lie of ego, which comes from only acknowledging ego and not acknowledging our divine nature. And so when I answer, I'm wonderful, I'm always speaking for my absolute nature, the nature beyond mind, beyond feeling, beyond emotion, beyond my human self. If any of you right now check into your divine nature, you notice it's absolutely wonderful. It's pure, it's pristine, it's innocent, it's spacious, it's vast, it's blissful. Now if you check into your relative nature, your human nature, how your body's doing, well, we may feel like an old bag of rocks, you know, we may have the flu, we may have a broken foot, or we may be struggling with something, we may be suffering from a broken heart. You know, a broken heart is an egoic condition. It's not a true nature condition. Your true nature cannot be broken. Your true nature is perfect. And so when you feel into your true nature, you may notice there's this incredible innocence. Right here, right now. An innocence which has been unharmed by life. Unharmed by this thing and that thing. Been unharmed by any sadness or grief. this incredible, timeless presence that is wonderful. It's absolutely beautiful, absolutely divine. It's this presence which hears my voice right now. Awake, aware, intelligent, humble, absolutely beautiful. And so if anyone else has a question, there's probably time for one more question. You know, or I can look at these emails. And so I had one more question about this, about what I spoke about a couple weeks ago. And someone was asking for some more information around this wound, the idea of a wound. And so most of us on the spiritual path, most of us who are human beings, we carry with us a great wound. And to me, a wound, it's like it's an aspect of our spiritual path. It's something we must learn to love. And so an example of a wound is that when we were a child, our mother ignored us, and so we don't know about trust. We don't know how to trust. Or we don't know how to love ourselves. Or when we were in middle school, the kids on the playground bullied us or they made fun of us. You know, one of the things I had a lot as a kid is I had these friends who were relentless, and they would, you know, torment me relentlessly. You know, I had a father who I loved dearly but was really scared of. And so I developed this wound of being small, of not trusting, of feeling like there is no place for me in this world. And so when we're given these wounds, when we're given these great challenges, oftentimes our path is about learning to love that which we fear. Learning to open when we are closed. Learning to trust when we don't trust. Learning to have discernment when we struggle with confusion or chaos. Learning to let go of guilt and step into power. Learning to forgive. To forgive and walk forward in love. And one of the things I was speaking with my wife about, we went out to dinner tonight, and we found this Indian restaurant here in Naples, and they had an Indian food vegan deli, and I said, "Oh yes, I want to go to that." I've had Indian food all over India and all over the United States. This was the best Indian food I had ever had. And we were having a beautiful dinner, and my wife said, sometimes Craig, your mother, Ani's grandmother, doesn't doesn't give our child organic food. And I said, sweetie, it's probably going to be okay. You know, we have a good little girl and she's not going to melt, you know, if she doesn't have organic food. She said, I'm just trying to give her the best childhood she can have. Because my wife, she had a rough childhood, and so we try to overcompensate. But see, sometimes our wound is that we just need to trust. We need to learn to trust. We have to take deep breaths and let go and trust. And so sometimes we project our wound, you know, onto a world. And we don't need to. We don't need to project. We can just breathe. Okay, so this last question, I'll see if I can do this one quickly. Being extremely sensitive and facing extreme emotional and physical pain is a combination that just led me to surrender to it, embrace it, and let it go. That is what I've been acknowledging little by little in the later times. And hope one's surrendering is the whole surrendering. However, I feel often quite lonely and invisible. I guess that is my ego struggling. Yes, well, if we feel lonely and invisible, oftentimes the invitation is that we need to come forward. Sometimes surrender is a process of letting go. But other times, and this took me a long time to discover, surrender is stepping forward. God doesn't want us to be lonely, and God certainly doesn't want us to be invisible. God made us as these bright lights in this world. And so sometimes the surrender is surrendering to being seen. That means a willingness to go out and be seen and be loved and be acknowledged. Now, I tried to make myself invisible, but that's because I was afraid of life. You know, I can say that personally. But what I found is I had to do the tremendous work to get my voice and to allow myself to be heard, to speak my truth, to share my gift and beauty in this world. One of the things that God invites for us all is for us to share our beauty. This is the reason God made us. All of us are like stars here. These divine stars here on planet Earth. And our job is to share our light. To share our light with the world. And so sometimes when we are extremely sensitive, we're afraid of stepping forward because we're afraid we'll experience pain. And it is true, we will experience pain if we do step forward. Because the more you engage with life, oftentimes the more opportunity there is to experience pain of rejection or hurt or heartache. But the pain is much greater if you just hide yourself from life. And so the invitation here is to be Christ-like, to be courageous, to step forward and shine your light in the world despite your sensitivity, despite the fear of pain. And so this is our ongoing invitation for all of us. Can we open our hearts to God's truth? To God's wisdom, to God's love. Can we open our hearts and share our hearts with the world? And so, thank you all for showing up this evening, for sharing your hearts with me. Thank you all for the donations. Thank you those for helping me, especially Suzanne has showed up and been so helpful with the website and the videos and helping me put together this program. And thank you all so much for all that you give me and all that you share. May peace be with you all, and may you all have a wonderful evening. God bless you. And just one more reminder, I won't be here next week, but I will be here in 2 weeks. I won't be here on the 18th. God bless you all. Have a wonderful evening. Good night.